The Gary Knoll Show, daily at noon on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's The Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, no guests, because I want to spend more time sharing important insights into the environment, health and nutrition and healing, commentaries, and lots of time for you to call in and share your points of view. So I'd like to welcome first all the stations around the world in the United States that are carrying the show, and let's begin. Yesterday I mentioned about some of the things that can protect you from radiation. I couldn't give it all because if I give too much at one time, quite simply there's an overload of information. Then people begin to miss some of it, and I don't want you to miss anything. But I decided today when I was thinking of all the nutrients that can protect you from radiation poisoning, no matter what form of radiation it is, if you got an x-ray for a tooth or you went through an airport screening machine or you're flying in an airplane or you happen to have been exposed to background radiation, what can help you? And then I realized, gee whiz, these also help people with bacteria and viruses and even yeast overgrowth like candida. So it's not just we could take these occasionally or when we feel that we are under some form of radiation assault, we could take these to help reestablish healthy bacteria and also to kill off bad bacteria and yeast in our body and to help us with antiviral conditions. And right up at the top of my list is olive leaf extract. Now, I've already mentioned on an earlier program coriander oil. That's a superstar. In 15 different petri dishes where they put E. coli and Listeria and all these really bad bacteria, it was able to kill them at very small dosage. So, of course, coriander oil, but then olive leaf extract. It fights funguses, especially if you've had an overgrowth of candida because you've had too many refined carbohydrates or simple sugars. I believe that every teenager should take 500 milligrams of olive leaf extract each day simply because of all of the carbonated beverages and the sugars they're eating. And you may not see what it's doing, but it would be able to kill off those fungi in the intestine. And a lot of girls, a lot of young women, get vaginal yeast because they're eating a lot of sugar and their hormones are changing, so that would help them as well. Now, an altogether superstar is oregano oil, wild oregano oil. Why? Because it contains what are called phenols, P-H-E-N-O-L-S. Phenols are very concentrated. And I don't care what kind of bacteria you have in your body. If you take oregano oil, let's say you have a strep throat or you have an infection in your sinuses. Well, if you took some oregano oil, let's say 10 drops, drop that into some warm but not hot tea, like a really concentrated green tea, and then open up some capsules of green tea, like 200 milligrams each, so you get 1,000 milligrams of the actual capsules put into a cup of green tea. And then you took some real superstars, the body's immune system, and that would be curcumin. I'd say 1,000 milligrams. You drank the oregano oil in the green tea. You have just done such a good thing for killing off the bacteria that's in your throat, in your mouth, in your intestine. It'll kill candida, and it's just terrific. It also is antiviral as well. Then I would go to Padiarco. Padiarco, P-A-U, capital D-A-R-C-O, is very common in South America. It's brewed into a tea. And one cup of Padiarco tea per day can have enormous antifungal properties. It also helps the immune system. Then we have garlic, and garlic is antifungal, antibacterial, pro-immune system. It just kills all the wrong things, or all the bad things that we don't want in our body. So I would definitely take garlic. Then we have apple cider vinegar. Back in the 1960s and 70s, there was a person who wrote a folk remedies, and it was a very big selling book. And his number one folk remedy was apple cider vinegar with tupelo honey, and mix the two together. And he was absolutely correct, because apple cider vinegar balances the pH levels of your body, and that in turn can help stop bacteria and viral overgrowth from getting out of control. Recently, someone I know returned from the Middle East. Before they went over, I suggested they take a small little kit of essential oils that were all under 3 ounces that pass airport security. I travel with it. And each day, no matter what the conditions, and I gave them conditions, you know, if you're taking a shower, remember that water hitting your head goes in your mouth. If there's any bacteria that your body's not accustomed to, you could end up with maybe dysentery. And also ice cubes. So you got to stick with bottled water that you can count on, or take the water filter, of course. And then I said, after you eat a meal, make sure that you take these drops and these. Okay, I gave a whole written thing. Didn't do it, of course. And then got sick. And for 5 days was laid up, and then thought, okay, this person's better. No, it means the body had killed off and purged enough of the parasitic and bacterial infectors that they were able to function. That's called low-level homeostasis, where you're able to function but not at a high level of energy. And then any stress, and suddenly the person ends up, you know, back in bed. Had they taken what I'm suggesting, including the apple cider vinegar, that's one of the very first things you should take if you ever get food poisoning, along with charcoal capsules. You take 20 to 30 charcoal capsules, and you take garlic, and you take apple cider vinegar, you're going to be able to purge those out of the body. If you don't purge them completely, residual amounts will stay, and they live. Echinacea historically has been very important, because it's anti-candida, antiviral, supports your immune system. Black walnut also has tannins, and tannins kill fungi, and that is very important. It also kills parasites. It's very good if you travel anywhere in the world where you're uncertain about the safety and of your food and water. Black walnut is very important to have. And then finally, a superstar is coconut oil. It's antiviral. It's antibacterial. It's pro-immune system. Builds you up. And fatty acids like caprylic acid and lauric acid are very powerful antifungal agents. Generally take 1 tablespoon in the morning under normal circumstances, and that kicks in the immune modulating good part of what the oil does. And there's no downside to it. Don't worry if your organic cold-pressed coconut oil turns solid when you refrigerate it. That's normal. All right, so that's a way that we can protect our body from radiation and have antibacterial and antiviral properties. Now, everything I just mentioned you could take on a regular basis. Now, one thing you should not take on a regular basis, in fact, you shouldn't take it at all, is red meat. But because I believe in freedom of choice, I believe you should have the vaccines you want. I just don't believe that I should be forced to take the same vaccines as you if I understand that they're not scientifically based. Same way with red meat. You want red meat? That's your right. When I go out to dinner with my buddies, I'll frequently eat meat because I'm not there to tell them what to eat. Now, there's a consequence sooner or later to everything we do. The latest study gives you an example of why any form of red processed meat is bad. This is from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Quote, processed red meat consumption doubles the risk of diabetes. Doubles it. And it also has a very, it's quoted as highly carcinogenic nitrite content. See, when they cure a meat, just use common sense. How good could anything be if it never goes bad? So if you can have salami that goes on your pizza or goes into a deli sandwich, and they've cured it, and they've altered its taste with additives, and you get it in hot dogs, bologna, sausages, and it causes cancer, gee whiz, why would you eat it? But a small amount, 2 ounces, that's it, 50 grams, 2 ounces is enough to double your risk of diabetes. And they studied 37,000 health professionals and 79,000 nurses in this study. And that's where they came up with their data. So, just be aware that it's not, is it bad? It's just, when will you finally get sick from it? Pain is all around us. The number one and two reasons people go to doctors is pain and fatigue. Cherries are one of nature's most perfect natural pain remedies. Now, when you consider what we do for pain, almost always we do the wrong things. We take non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. They cover up the pain, but don't change the underlying cause. The combined costs of medical care and lost productivity due to chronic pain, $150 billion a year. But no one's talking about getting rid of the pain. All they're doing is profiting from it. $150 billion? There's no reason that we should be suffering from pain if we have natural remedies. Now, cherries help not just because they have antioxidants, but because they have anthocyanins. And an anthocyanin is what gives it its color. And Johns Hopkins University did a study that showed that tart Montmorency cherries compared against a prescription non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug and see which one was able to turn off the inflammatory response, and this tart cherry significantly reduced pain sensitivity and at the highest doses was as effective as a drug. Another study at the Michigan State University, the anthocyanins in cherries were found to be equivalent to common over-the-counter painkillers for inhibiting COX-1 and COX-2 enzymes associated with inflammation. So we need to deal with gout, and gout generally comes from uric acid in the joints, and that can come from purines. And where do you get that? You get it from meats. So uric acid and urate, when you have elevated levels of urate, it's a precursor to uric acid in blood plasma levels and in the urine. Well, within 5 hours of eating cherries, urate levels decreased in blood plasma levels and increased in the urine, which meant that the body is cleaning out the uric acid. They also evaluated C-reactive protein and nitric oxide, two other markers of inflammation. They both went down with cherries. So my suggestion, buy some cherry concentrate or have any of the powders that have cherry as a basis because that will help with pain. It also helps with fibromyalgia. There was an Oregon Health and Science Center Women's University study with fibromyalgia. That's muscles pain and weakness after exercise. And of the women, half drank cherry juice and the other had a placebo juice for 10 days. Results showed that the cherry juice group had significant reduction in overall pain. So it's this simple. Tart cherries reduce pain. The more you drink, the better it is. And you can get dried tart cherries as well. And finally, for those of you who like cycling, I suggest only cycling in the heaviest resistance gear. So you really have to pump. Here's one reason. This is from Science Daily. It says cycling, vigorous daily exercise recommended for a longer life. Quote, a study conducted among cyclists in Copenhagen, Denmark, showed that it is the relative intensity and not the duration of the cycling that is of most importance in relation to all-cause death, and even pronounce for coronary heart disease death, which means in lay language, the harder you pedal, again, resistance, put it in the hardest gear, the greater the benefit. I'm Gary Knoll. That's the latest on health and healing. And we now go to our break and then come back and do our environmental segment and then our issues of the day. And then I'll be opening calls at that point. Please stay with us. For those listening on our stations, what I'm going to be doing in the next month is consolidating most of our efforts onto Progressive Radio Network for a lot of good reasons. One, because it's the fastest growing internet network in radio network in the world. Last week, for example, just my Monday evening show on Progressive Consumer Hour had 130,000 unique listeners. That's to one show. Or put another way, if that were a rating for a show, it would be 130,000 quarter hour listeners. That's a bunch of people. So a lot of people can hear it at any time. It's always up to date on archives. I do extended programs that you don't hear on your regular terrestrial station. So this way, make the shift over. 99% of the people who listen right now are listening on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. So the day comes when I'm no longer on your station, you'll know. Just go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. Our environmental segment from Stephen Lee. As you know, there has been some debate with people being arrested. And I guess Naomi Kleins was arrested over the weekend, and Daryl Hannah, but a lot of other people were arrested in front of the White House, over 1,000 thus far, protesting the dirty oil being taken out of Canada and brought down to the Gulf. Now, just a basic question, common sense. Why? Why would you take it down to the Gulf? What's down there? Refineries? We have refineries other places. And what we're not told in any of these discussions in the media is the true reason why this has to exist at all. Now, with 400% as many oil rigs pumping domestic oil today than 8 years ago, and declining domestic demand, because we are being more conscientious, we have a lot of oil. You heard me right. Let me repeat that. Because I can promise you that the Sarah Palins and others who want to terrify us into we're going to run out of oil and can't drive our cars, so we got to drill, 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 they're wrong. We have lots of oil. The country's oil industry is primarily interested in who will pay the most on the global marketplace. They call that energy security when it suits. But in reality, it's oil company security through maximizing profits. Say energy experts like Steve Kretzman of Oil Change International, an NGO that researches the links between oil, gas, and coal companies and governments. The only reason United States citizens may be forced to endure a risky Canadian-owned pipeline called Keystone XL is so oil companies with billion-dollar profits can get the dirty oil from Canada's tar sands down to the Gulf of Mexico to export to Europe, Latin America, and Asia. That's the reality. Now, that's in a new report by Oil Change International. Quote, Keystone XL will not lessen U.S. dependence on foreign oil, but rather transport Canadian oil to American refineries for export to overseas markets. Little of the 700,000 to 800,000 barrels of tar sand oil pumped through the 2,400-kilometer, $7 billion Keystone pipe will end up in U.S. gas tanks because the refineries on the Gulf Coast are all about expanding export markets. one huge refining operator called Valero has been touting the potential export revenues of tar sand oil to investors. And because Keystone crosses national borders, President Barack Obama has to issue a permit declaring the pipeline serves, quote, national interest in order to be approved. Well, the only way Keystone could be considered in the national interest is if you equate profits of the oil industry and Canada's huge tar sand deposits, located mainly in the far north of the province of Alberta, are the world's second largest oil reserves. But they are landlocked. It's the industry's biggest worry, and also Alberta's energy minister's biggest concern. Now, the question is, why not just take it straight across Canada and take it off the west coast of Canada, right? They've got ports there, and they've got refineries there. Simple. All those native people living on that land, they are staunchly opposed. So the industry thought it would be easier to put an export pipeline right through the United States heartland. So the oil industry would have done the northern gateway first, meaning straight across Canada to the ocean, but gambled that resistance to the pipeline would be far weaker in the Midwest. Well, they were wrong. Thousands of people, including landowners and religious leaders, have gone to Washington in the past 2 weeks to tell President Obama to reject Keystone. Nearly 1,000 have been arrested for standing on the sidewalk in front of the White House in what protesters call the largest civil disobedience in the history of the U.S. climate movement. So I support them in this movement. We've been talking about this for over 2 years, and now at least we know the real truth. We do not need this oil in the United States. It's not going to be used in the United States. They just try to manipulate, figuring they control the media, so they'll just put the pipeline through a few protesters, no big deal. Well, it's not just a few protesters, and it's mainly so oil companies can export it out to Europe and other places. And two other quick things here. I'd like for you to think about this. Recently, the Obama administration gave the green light to Arctic exploration. And a big check was written by ExxonMobil for $2.1 billion to make this happen. This opened up the whole Arctic oil rush. Now, this is going to be humongous as a problem. Why? If you have any oil leak that happens under that area with ice, the oil will come up and be absorbed into the ice and can travel 1,000 miles. And you're not going to be able to cap those. Those are very deep waters. The oil companies are now turning to the far north as supplies elsewhere across the globe start to run out because we're way beyond peak oil. And the area north of the Arctic Circle contains about 160 billion barrels of oil, more than a quarter of the world's undiscovered reserves. And some of it's under land, as in Alaska's North Slope field, but large amounts of it are known to lie under the seabeds of the Arctic Ocean and the Baffin Bay off Greenland, which are ice-covered for almost all the year. So they drill. It's inevitable there will be disasters, and those disasters will not be local. We could see enormous amounts of the world hit because of this. And we are not putting money into solar, wind, geothermal, and wave, all of which could eliminate entirely 100% coal, oil, gas, and nuclear. There'd be no need for it. Oh, you know how we love to pollute but don't like to clean up after ourselves? Well, now there's a little payback coming. Junk in space. That's right. The amount of debris orbiting the Earth has now reached, quote, the tipping point for collisions. That in turn would generate more debris that threatens astronauts and satellites. NASA has shown that there's over 1,000 operational commercial, military, and civilian satellites. When things are orbiting, they're orbiting about 28,164 kilometers an hour. I mean, that's really moving. But there's a lot of money made up in space. About $170 billion in revenue per year goes to the satellite industry. Well, the world's first space collision occurred in 2009 when a working Iridium communication satellite and a non-operational Russian satellite collided over Siberia. It generated thousands of new pieces of orbiting debris. And the crash followed China's destruction in 2007 of one of its defunct weather satellites as part of a widely condemned anti-satellite missile test. The amount of orbiting debris tracked by the U.S. Space Surveillance Network is now at 16,000 objects circling. So we're going to have some disasters. It's unfortunate, but no one thought about what we do when we overcrowd the skies. I'm Gary Knoll. Now for our issue, we'll take a break and come back with your calls on this issue. Paul Craig Roberts from Global Research, I'll quote him. He says, with bank fraudsters, torturers, and war criminals running free, the U.S. Department of Justice has nothing better to do than to harass the famous Tennessee guitar manufacturer, Gibson, arrest organic food producers in California, and send 12 abusive FBI agents armed with assault rifles to bust down yet another wrong door of yet another innocent family, leaving parents, children, and grandmothers traumatized. What law did Gibson Guitar Corporation break that caused federal agents to disrupt Gibson's plants in Nashville and Memphis, seize guitars, cause layoffs, and cost the company $3 million from disrupted operations? No U.S. law was broken. The feds claim that Gibson broke a law that is not on the books. Oh, not even on the books in India. India has not complained about Gibson or asked for the aid of the U.S. government in enforcing its laws against Gibson. Instead, the feds have taken it upon themselves to both interpret and to enforce on U.S. citizens the laws of India. The feds claim that Gibson used wood from India in its guitars illegally because the wood was not finished by Indian workers. Now, this must not be India's interpretation of the law, as India allowed the unfinished wood to be exported. Perhaps the feds are trying to force more layoffs. In any case, Gibson can solve its problems by hiring in Tennessee, firing the Tennesseans, Americans, and hiring Indian citizens on H-1B work visas. In Venice, California, feds spent a year dressed up as hippies, purchasing raw goat milk and yogurt from Rawlsome Foods and then decked out in hemp anklets and reeking of weed, raided with guns drawn, always with guns drawn, the organic food shop. The owner's crime is that he supplied the normal everyday foods that I grew up on and to customers who request them. For this heinous crime, James Stewart faces 13-count indictment and is held on $123,000 bail. How did raw milk become a health threat? Far more Americans have died from E. coli in fast food hamburgers and from salmonella in mass-produced eggs and chicken. Like many of my generation, I was raised on raw milk. Mathis Dairy delivered it to our homes in Atlanta. Even decades later, a person could purchase Mathis Dairy raw milk in Atlanta's grocery stores. How did supplying an ordinary staple become a crime? The FBI agents who broke down Gary Adams' door in Bellevue, Pennsylvania, claimed they were looking for a woman. Why does it take 12 heavily armed FBI agents to apprehend a woman? Are FBI agents that incapable? If the feds can never get the address right, how do we know that they have the name and gender right? I can remember when it only took one policeman to deliver a warrant and to arrest a person, and without a gun drawn, without breaking down the door and tasering or shooting the object of arrest. Turns out that the FBI agents who broke into the Adams home not only were at the wrong address, but also didn't even have a search warrant had they been at the correct address. The practice of sending heavily armed teams into American homes has resulted in many senseless murders of U.S. citizens. The practice must be halted and SWAT teams disbanded. SWAT teams have murdered far more innocents than they have dangerous criminals. Hostage situations are rare, and they are best handled without violence. Jose Guerrero, a U.S. Marine who served two tours in Bush's Iraq War, was murdered in his own home in front of his wife and two small children by a crazed SWAT team, again in the wrong place. They shot him 60 times, that's 6-0. When his wife told him there was men outside sneaking around the house, he picked up his rifle and walked to the kitchen to see what was going on, and that's when he was shot. 71 SWAT team shots, 60 of them hitting. Yet, I guess they have to be very brave and tough and macho cops out defending the public and murdering war heroes. I've seen studies that show that police actually commit more acts of violence against the public than do criminals, which raises an interesting question. Are police a greater threat to the public than are criminals? On Yahoo, I just searched police brutality and came up with 4,840,000 results. Meanwhile, the real masked criminals, such as Dick Cheney, who if tried for his actions at Nuremberg, most definitely would have been executed as a war criminal, run free. Cheney's all over TV hawking his memoirs. On August 29th, interviewed by Jamie Gangel on NBC's Dateline, Cheney again proudly admitted that he authorized torture, secret prisons, and illegal wiretapping. These are crimes under U.S. international laws. Cheney claims breaking laws against torture is, quote, the right thing to do. And if he had a high-value detainee and that was the only way he could get him to talk. Three questions immediately come to mind that no member of the press, the media has ever asked. The first is, why does Cheney think the Office of Vice President, President, or Attorney General has the power to authorize breaking a law? Our vaunted rule of law disappears if federal officials can authorize breaking laws. The second is, what high-value detainees is Cheney talking about? Donald Rumsfeld declared that Guantanamo detainees to be, quote, the most dangerous, best-trained, vicious killers on the face of the earth. But the vast, vast, vast majority had to be released when it turned out, after years of their lives spent in a torture prison, that the vast majority of the detainees were hapless innocents who were sold to the stupid Americans by warlords as terrorists for bounties. To save face, the U.S. government has held on to a few detainees but hasn't enough confidence in their alleged guilt to put them on trial in a court of law. The third is, why does Cheney think that he knows better than the accumulated documented evidence that torture doesn't produce truthful or useful information? If the person under torture is actually a terrorist, he knows that his tormentors don't know the answers that they're looking for, and so he or she can tell the torturers whatever serves the torturer's victim's purpose. If the person under torture is innocent, he has no idea what the answers are and seeks to discover what his torturers want to hear so he can tell them. As Glenn Greenwald makes clear, Dick Cheney, who presides, quote, over policies that left hundreds of thousands of innocent people dead from wars of aggression, constructed a worldwide torture regimen and spied on Americans without warrants required by law, unquote, is now being feeded and enriched thanks to the protective shield of immunity bestowed upon him by the current administration. Meanwhile, Gibson Guitar faces prosecution because of the Fed's off-the-wall interpretation of the law in India, and the owner of Rawlsome has a 13-count indictment for supplying customers with food staple that was a part of the normal diet from colonial times until recently. In America, we have the rule of law. Only the law is not applied to banksters, members of the executive branch, but as Greenwald says, is applied only to ordinary citizens and other nations. A country this utterly corrupt is certainly no light unto the world. And those are the points of view of Professor Roberts. Your thoughts. I'd like to hear what you have to think about the whole idea that we're losing. As Americans, we are held accountable for our actions, but that unfortunately means that anyone in a position of power, the elites, the oligarchs, the plutocrats can do whatever they want with impunity. This administration, the previous administrations, no one is held accountable. What could we do, if anything, or should we just accept that this is the way it has to be? That we live in a world where those who are powerful will continue to accrue more power. Those in the media need the power because they pay the bills and they want access to official sources of power. So they're accommodating, and therefore we just have to hope that the day comes when we don't do anything, that someone at some point will feel is aggressive or makes them feel uncomfortable. So then we can't demonstrate, we can't march, we can't write, we can't protest, because someone in a position of power will be the object of that protest and therefore make a call to one of their buddies in one of the hundreds of thousands, 800,000 to be exact, people who work in Homeland Security, all in a self-interested way. And then what do we do? So should we all just, as wealthy people walk down the streets, bow? Should we just not even question anyone running for office? If they're rich enough to run for office, they must surely be better than the rest of us, and therefore whatever they do. Oh, did I mention that I just got a list of the 50th wealthiest congressmen? All of these in Congress are worth many millions. The richest is no longer that Clinton corporate Democrat who ran for president, but rather it is Representative Michael McCaul, Republican of Texas, $287 million. So Nancy Pelosi also is right up there. And Jim Renacci of Ohio, a lot of people worth tens of millions of dollars. So we just have to accept that if you're rich enough to run for office or you have rich supporters, anything you do, you can get out of. Anything anyone else does, you'll be held accountable. That's what we've come to, because I sure don't hear the people on the left and right in the media complaining about this. It's like a non-issue. Your thoughts. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Call me. Call me. Call me. What a beautiful time we had together. It's getting late, and we must leave each other. Yeah.
I'd like to welcome all of you as your calls are coming in here in a moment, and we're going to go to Jason in studio in a moment. I just want to offer you all a special of the day. It will be the only special we can give this week because of the holiday. I started last week, and we ran out. But we, this morning, got another 200 bottles, and that's it, of the Super Antioxidant. These are vegan capsules, and they're the best formula I've been able to create to help trap free radicals in the body. And quite simply, I took the amount of an antioxidant in the combination that I felt would work best. So I have vitamin C and E and B6, and magnesium and zinc, and selenium and copper, and astaxanthin and quercetin and L-carnosine and lycopene and rosemary leaf powder and tocotrienols and raspberry. I also have rosemary leaf powder, and then I have citrus bioflavonoids, rutin and bilberry, red wine concentrate, reduced glutathione, coenzyme Q10, L-cysteine, N-acetylcysteine, alpha-lipoic acid, superoxide dismutase, taurine, pycnogenol, licorice, broccoli, lutein, cabbage root, milk thistle, and bromelain. All those. I mean, we're talking about the best of the best of all the antioxidants, put them all in one vegan capsule. So that's something. If you took these, let's say, three times a day in the morning when you wake up, mid-afternoon, and in the evening, that would be the best way. And after all, what is it that causes our cells to mutate? What is it that causes our cells to become damaged? Free radicals. What is the only known way of stopping free radicals in the body? Antioxidants. So, you buy one, you get one free. So give a call. Buy one, get one free. It's called Super Antioxidant. We've been out of it for 10 months. call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065 for your super antioxidants. Buy one, get one free. By the way, do not call in today for seats because I was told that we are full for our September 21st double showing, 5 o'clock to 6:30, knocking on the devil's door, 7 o'clock to 8:30 is the panel with Vandana Shiva and Greg Palast and Harvey Wasserman, all these people, including people coming in from Japan and France and Germany, and then a break at the end of that, and then a full showing of the brand new film, Death by Medicine. So it's going to be a long night for some. You're going to get two different films and a book, all for $25. But right now, please don't call in because I've been told we are full. If we are full, and if that's the case, and if you have not any intention of showing up, please call in and let go of your seats so someone who wants to come will. Let's say hello now to Janet from San Francisco. Hi, Janet.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. Well, I agree with you. A lot of the points that you were making about how money actually corrupts the political process, and right now in our dire economic straits, could you give us some insight into how we can develop alternative currency that gives some respect to the human hour on the planet and to the planet itself?
Okay, Janet, we have to look at this. It's a good question. Thank you for raising it, but I think we have to pull back for a moment. Instead of looking at this as just one problem, greed, which changes nothing, let us break it into its component parts. First the problem, then the solution, okay? First, do you believe that we should be funding any agency of government, state, federal, or local, where the persons that we have hired are not serving the public interest but only their own?
Well, I mean, I think there's a revolving door where people, you know, from the corporate structure come right into the government and undermine everything that they're supposed to be overseeing.
Okay, each administration has done that. They put people ahead of the FDA, ahead of the USDA that come from Monsanto, and therefore go with their food safety bill. 510 was able to put rules in effect that would virtually destroy commercial organic farming. But that only happens if you allow the politicians who are representing special interest groups into office. How you get that stopped is you refuse to be a part of any voter registration or refuse to vote for anyone until they go to free elections, meaning no private money is allowed for any candidate for any election anywhere. Therefore, you don't have millionaires buying their seats in Congress. Instead, you have anyone from a firefighter to a social worker or a school teacher is able to run for office. You do it in 3-month cycle, meaning anyone who wishes to run for office fills out an application and then their credentials with everything listed about them. And then they fill out questions that are relevant to everyone's interest and how they answer them. Then those go in, and then from these in a lottery, which is the only free way of doing it, the most objective way, you then have these people put before the public where the public has an opportunity to question them on what do you believe in, what would you do if. And that way you have repeating debates based upon lottery, and hence not the Democrat and Republican, excluding the Ralph Naders or anyone else that's a third party, a constitutional party or Libertarian Party or Green Party or Peace Party. They're all excluded from the current debates. If you had an open system that no corporate funding could occur for, then you would at least get regular people into positions of power. If you don't have that, in the short term we're not going to have that, then you have to withdraw support from the institutions and the people in power. So whatever they're for, be against. So if they're wanting you to watch commercial television, stop watching commercial television. Stop listening to commercial radio. Stop, and that includes NPR's program that's actually produced not by NPR, but produced at Stanford University. Not Stanford, maybe it's UCLA. Yeah, I think it's UCLA. But it's supported by Monsanto. Hence, their discussions on genetic engineering are always pro. And American Media, what the heck is the name of it? It's Kyle, what is it? What is the name of that? Corporation Public Broadcasting. Anyhow, it's not officially NPR, but the 33 million listeners of NPR think it is because it's this show from 6 to 6:30 or 6:30 to 7. They pay for things. They do the same thing on PBS. So we've got to stop. You've got to stop buying any brand of product that is made outside the United States. Stop buying clothes. Stop buying at Walmart. Stop buying at all the designer stores. Stop buying, take your money out of regular banks. When you start doing that and enough people do it, you bring them to a level of reckoning. Just like today, I predicted what would be happening, and I predicted that gold would go to 2,000 before October. It is. I predicted that the euro would collapse. It will. I predicted that the European Union could not be supported except by Germany. And Germany, if it does support the bailout, including of Italy, which is about $2.7 trillion, it will cripple Germany. Right now, funds are going into Germany because it's stable. But it's the only stable economy in the European zone. So, and why? All because of corrupt bankers and greedy bankers, and they want the banks bailed out so that who's going to pay for this bailout? The average citizen. How? Through austerity measures. Why should the average person who didn't benefit in the profits of the bank, why should they be responsible for bailing out? Because we have a corrupt system. Until you stop supporting the government, throw the government out the window, get your money out of the banks. So you see, we're not going to have a political system change. That's not possible. It will not happen. At any level, there will be no reform whatsoever. No matter what dog and pony show they put on, it's all a game. So therefore, make your lifestyle contingent upon getting off the grid. So everything you do that stops buying McDonald's, stop buying Starbucks, when you can have the strength of character saying no more to any of that, you become a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Okay?
All right. Well, is there some way that we could set up like small off-the-grid communities, even project-based, like recycling and...
We are doing that now.
Yeah.
There are millions doing it now. Go up on the Internet and look for supportive communities, shared living communities, and I'll be joining that. I've been holding off because I want to create the right environment, but it's almost there, where we can show people how to get out of their careers and start bartering and making things and recycling things. It's all going to come because there'll be no other choice.
That's right.
There'll be no choice. Economic, health, environmental, and collapses and tippings will force people who are now in this kind of I'm indifferent, I don't care, into saying what just happened, what just happened. You just had an earthquake at 8 point, and now your nuclear facility is cracked, and now you are exposed. That's what just happened. Oh, gee whiz. So, Janet from San Francisco, thank you. I appreciate your input.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And let's say hello to Michael from Hicksville. Hi, Michael.
Good afternoon, Gary.
Hi.
Hello. Good afternoon. I was calling to just bring up a point. I was in the studios of Fox and Friends, and I saw how everything that they spoke of was completely scripted. I was reading the teleprompters, and even the interruptions that they had when they were speaking to each other was all scripted. I mean, I know that it's like all the mainstream is completely corrupt, but to actually be in there and see it, just like mind blowing.
I could imagine, and that's unfortunate, but they're on point. They're doing a good job of giving the message that they're told to give, but it's not the message we need to hear.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. David from New Rochelle. Hi, David. You're on.
Yes. Hi there. You mentioned Consolidate PRN. Let me tell you what I listen to. I listen to Love, Lust, and Laughter, Steve Lindman, what used to be called Portside, that guy from Vermont, and Black Agenda Report. Are you going to get rid of any of those? Or what does Consolidate mean?
No. We're not getting rid of a single show on Progressive Radio Network. We're actually expanding. In fact, I'm going to have something fun. I'm going to be doing. I'm going to look for a host to do the new Howard Beale show. Remember from the movie Network?
Okay. Oh yes.
You know, a guy who was both prophetic crazy and but fun and but very insightful. We're going to get someone like that.
I've never seen the movie.
Who can just raise hell, but in a realistic way. No, we have all kinds of new. We have a whistleblower show coming. We have all kinds of new. What I meant by consolidated is this. Right now, I'm doing 15 hours a week of live broadcasting. But many people listen from a terrestrial station like WMYE. They can only listen to four and a half hours. So what I'm going to do is, in the next month, I'm going to start saying goodbye to these stations so that I don't have to constantly have to be doing double broadcasting work. I just don't have the time. So the one place you'll always be able to hear me is on Progressive Radio Network.
Problem with that is I can't walk around on the street with headphone radio on.
Yeah. Well, there will
be... I can't hear you.
You
have to be near a computer.
Hey, Gary, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Jason over here. But the good thing about that is you can walk around on your iPod and listen through iTunes or through Stitcher.com, which is another podcast. So you can walk around with it. So hopefully...
Well, I do that now. I download the old shows, but I can't hear it in real time.
Well, that's not a problem. We'll be doing that in the future more.
We're
going
to be
easy.
Doing live broadcasts over Progressive Radio Network over your iPod. That's coming at us right away. The technologies that we're using and how we're expanding is all on Progressive Radio Network. So everything you can do now, you'll be able to do. It's just that from our point of view, we have to have so much bandwidth. We have to do so much technical work to keep up with all the stations that want to carry the program. So it's best... And a lot of these stations, unfortunately, they're not up to date. They're way behind. So I'm just saying that if a day comes when you're no longer hearing us on your land-based stations, you'll know you can still hear us on Progressive Radio Network. Let's go into our studio and say hello to Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how are you, Gary?
Doing great.
I just have a note here for you that I wanted to read. This is from an anonymous person. My husband just retired from the investment community after 30 years. I told him 4 years ago to start listening to you. I told him you're prolific, your predictions come true. He decided not to listen. We were looking for a house in New Mexico, and I told him you had said that wasn't a good idea. I told him you spoke about the weather getting warmer and the wells drying up. He chose not to listen again. We moved to New Mexico, and everything was perfect for 7 months. Then one day, our water was brown, and the next day, there was no water. Our well had dried up. For 1.5 years, we had no water, and it cost us $70,000 to go a quarter mile to dig a deep well, but we didn't know how long that would even last. I attended a workshop of yours about 1 year ago about the best places to live. After that, we sold the property at a loss. I took your advice, started buying gold and silver. I put money in new places because of you. You predicted over 3 years ago our economy would be in shambles. The euro would crash, banks would crash. You even said to unload any properties with any mortgage and buy a farm. You also said that by the fall of 2011, gold would be $20 and silver would be $50. As of today, gold is $19.50 and silver is $44. Thank God I listened to you. Since my new investments, I was able to help us out of our money issues. My question is, how in the hell did you know what Wall Street didn't know?
Simply put, Wall Street is only interested in how it makes money, either shorting something or making money from money. And it works off the spread. I'm looking at trends. For example, the average American does not have enough money to circulate in the societies that once did. It doesn't have the disposable income. At one time, we had very little, almost no debt. Now we're massively in debt. There's been no relief for that debt. So as a result, the average person can't go out the way they used to, can't travel the way they used to, because they're making less per year than they once made. Also, you have more and more Americans approaching the retirement age, especially baby boomers, and they don't have the savings. A lot of that savings has been invested poorly in the past. So if you look at the bulk of small businesses, they're struggling, they're hurting, and they're not getting help, and they're the largest employers in the United States. If you're looking at the bulk of individuals, they are hurting financially. So where in the world do we see us having a positive strength in a dollar and a positive economy? It's not possible. Also, the government is spending trillions upon trillions of dollars on its friends within the hedge fund industry, the equity industry, and the banking community. None of that helps us. There's no trickle down. That's always been a myth. It helps them, so they're making money off money. If they have $1 billion, if they have $10 billion, they can control the currency rates in different countries. Hence, they can manipulate currencies, make money. They can do the same thing off oil or pork bellies. The average person can't. So Wall Street always has this very myopic, short-term look. What can I make today? And there's where I played it. I said, in the long term, the dollar will weaken. And as the dollar weakens, other countries around the world are going to say, your day has come and gone. We no longer are going to use the dollar as our reserve currency. We have Brazil that paid back its International Monetary Fund debt, paid back all of its debt, and has over $600 billion in reserves. It has the fastest growing economy in the world. It's solid. China is right behind it. India is up there. South Korea is up there. So these countries now form what's called BRICS. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. They're going to go off the dollar. I predict that'll happen in the next 24 to 36 months. When that happens, you will see the Great Depression return to America. It will be horrible what's going to happen. Before that time, however, the dollar will continue to devalue. Well, when the dollar devalues, where do you have one safe reserve? Gold. And what is the currency you would need to survive? Junk silver. Not silver bars, not silver certificates, actual dimes, quarters, half dollars, dollars. So, and then cash, and get out of debt, because our real estate market, I believe, is going to take a 50% hit over the next 2 years. So the only investment I would suggest for the average person is farmland, because you're going to see the price of food go up tremendously. You're going to see the quality of life in the urban areas really badly affected. You're going to see gangs. You're going to see social unrest. You're going to see class warfare. And how bad it will be dependent upon how fearful are those in power, the government and major corporatists, in protecting what they have. So their backlash is going to be phenomenal. There'll be enormous violence, because one thing we've seen, this administration, every administration, is more than capable of using violence. When you take a whole team of SWAT guys to go into a raw food co-op in Los Angeles, where people are, you know, have braided hair and sandals and guns drawn, you've created a futuristic, militaristic, fascistic state, and now we think that's normal, and we shouldn't. That's why I did the commentary. We are now quickly approaching a point of no return, where you will not be able to demonstrate, you will not be able to protest, you will not be able to do anything that those in power think could be a threat, because you'll be shut down and you'll be raided. That's where we're going. We're in a police state. It's only going to get worse. But it will get worse, and there'll be a lot of invasions of persons' rights. There'll be a lot of persons hurt, killed, jailed. But then the big pushback will come. Unlike the 100 million person peaceful spring awakening in the Middle East, unlike the social protests in Greece, you're dealing with 80 million armed Americans. Listen to what Gerald Celente says. When you have nothing to lose, you lose it. We're quickly approaching the point where people will think they have nothing to lose. And they're not even considered in the equation of anything being done, planned, executed in our society for anyone's future. Everything about creating jobs, they're not going to create jobs. They're not going to. They're going to play the game, both Democrat and Republican. You want to create jobs? Fine. Take $3 trillion in the Federal Reserve, give it as low interest, zero interest loans with no payback for 3 years to small businesses, and you will create 9 million new jobs. That would be the greatest input of getting back into an economically sound position. We won't do that, even though 90% of those loans would be repaid, even though people who then could rejuvenate their businesses and expand what they have or start new in communities everywhere would help the local economy. We won't do that. But give $16 trillion to bankers in secret zero interest, that they have no problem doing. So it's got to get worse. It's got to get terrible. And then America will wake up. It'll be interesting to see that tsunami hit the rich and powerful, the media, and the government. I'm Gary Noll. Thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow.
Gary Noll Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matthew Bogart. All shows are archived by Kyle Pollard. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride. And the program director is Jason Talbotfeld.